Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Zayin. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Vav Amabez, the last words on the Abed. Amar Rava teaches us Rava Amra. If the woman said to the man, the wife said to her husband, Tem Mani L'Kleini, give this individual, this specific individual that she identifies, money, the Kaddishlach, and I will become Mekudeshes to you when you give this individual money. Says the Gemara, that is considered a valid Kedushin. Mekudeshes. She's considered a valid Kedushin. Because the Halacha looks at it as if she received the money. Says the Gemara, where do we see a precedent that if somebody else gets the money, the Halacha is as if I got the money? Says the Gemara, it's the same as an Arav. Within Arav, the Halacha is that a guarantor has a halachic standing. And says the Gemara, this case is similar to the case of every guarantor. Because it explains the Gemara, Aruf, what happens by an Aruf? Lav afgav delay mata anoli yode. We have a malva who lends money to a loiva. But the malva wants an Aruf, he wants a guarantor. So they're able to. So the loiva is able to identify, find a guarantor that will guarantee that he will pay back. The loiva gets the money that's being lent to him. The Arav gets nothing, but still, he's still comes Shabbat Nafshei. His obligation is real, even though he got nothing. Here too, Hayat Tsunami. When we speak about this woman, Afgav Dolei Mot HaNol Yoda, she didn't get anything, but Kom Shabda Makna Nafsha, she's still willing to obligate herself that if you will give the money to the person that I asked for, it's as if I got the money. So the way I saw most Rishonim explain this Gemara, the Gemara explains that this woman has a certain level of hana, so there's a certain level of benefit by the fact that the person that she identified should get that money, and that hana that she has is considered as if she got kesef, as if she got something of substance. And since it's considered as if she got something of substance, that's why the kedushin is considered a valid kedushin, because as we keep on learning in our shiurim, the definition of a kedusha kesef is that the woman receives something from the husband. The question is that the Rishonim discuss: how does the actual kedushin take place? Most Rishonim say that Rashi and the Rosh say that at the time. Usually, how do we have a kedushin? The husband gives the wife the ring, and he says to her, "Hare at mekudeshes libatah ba'azu, you become married to me with this ring, kedas moshe Yisrael." Here, he's not giving her anything, as we just discussed. He's giving it to this other individual. So Rashi and the Rosh explain that when he gives this money to this other individual, he says that hare. Hare at Mekudeshes Li, you are Mekudesh to me with this money that I'm giving at that time. But says the Bach, but that statement, that Hare at Mekudeshes Li, has to be said at the same time that the money is actually being given to that man, that person she identified, or Toikadei Dibur. If it's going to be later, he gave the money first, and now afterwards, he's going to make this statement, it's not going to be effective. The Chalkas Mechoikik disagrees. He says that in a case, and we spoke about such a case in our previous year, in a case where he gave money to someone, and now, as a Pekodin or whatever, and now he want to use that as a Kedushin, that isn't a valid Kedushin. But when the money was given to this person that she identified, if at that moment she was given to him based on the understanding that by giving it to him this woman will become married to him. So it doesn't make a difference if the statement was made that Dareat was said at that time or was said at another time. It would be considered a valid kedusha. The Chasam Sofer tells us that we know that Leah's son brought a dudoim, brought her flowers, and she gave those flowers to Rachel in exchange that Yaakov would spend the night with Leah. And Leah said to Yaakov, "Alai tovay, you will come to me, kisacha sachatecha b'dudei b'ni." Says the Gemara that, so asked the Chasam Sofer, Yaakov Avinu wasn't part of this arrangement. It was an arrangement between Rachel and Leah. So how do we understand the pasuk, kisacha sachatecha, I rented you, I have rights over you, when he wasn't party to this entire discussion? Says the Chasam Sofer, it's very similar to what we're learning in our Gemara. Our Gemara, says the Chasam Sofer, taught us that there's a concept of Orev. So that's why Rachel, we could be confident that Yaakov was looking for the benefit of Rachel. And if Rachel says to Leah, what's benefit to me is that I should get these flowers, and for that you could have Yaakov, since we're confident that Yaakov is satisfied with whatever arrangement Rachel makes, it's considered a situation of Orev, and that's why the pasuk is very correct. The Gemara gives us another example. Heilich Mana, if a person goes to the, a shliach comes to the woman, and he says, Heilich Mana v'skadish l'ploini, I'm giving you money in order, this man, the shliach, is giving money to a woman, and you should become mekudeshes to a certain man based on the money I'm giving you. The halacha is mekudeshes. Even though she didn't get the money from the husband, she got the money from the shliach. What is the precedent for this? Says the Gemara, we learned this from Eved Kanani. Because we see in Eved Kanani, the Mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, and Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis teaches us that if an Eved Kanani is owned by an owner, someone else could pay to get him freed. Lav Avgav Delei Chosloi Midi. So in that case, the Eved Kanani isn't spending any money to be freed. Avgav Delei Chosloi Midi, he's not spending any money. It's still a valid way of getting himself redeemed. Hi Gavranami, this person, Avgav Delechos Vlamidi, even though he isn't giving up anything of his own to get married, it's still going to be considered a valid kedushin. Not a Gemara. So far what we've learned in our Shia today, how we could have a kedushin that becomes valid based on the principle of Orev, and we have a Kedushin that can become valid based on the principle of Eved Kanani. And now the Gemara comes up with a situation which is a combination, where a woman said to man, Taman al Plani, you give money to a certain individual, Makadish Daniloi, and I will become married to that individual. Says the Gemara, Mekudeshes, it's a valid Kedushin, Bidinch name, because of a combination of the halacha of Arev and of Kanani. Lav, Arev, why do we apply the principle of Arev here? Lav, Avgav de lekonet mota nola yudei, she doesn't get anything. Still, komashabat nafshei. Hayatis, an Arev doesn't get anything, but he's still obligated. Hayatis anami, this woman that we're speaking about here as well, Avgav de lekonet mota nola yudei, she's not getting anything because the money's going to someone else. But the fact that it's being done based on her request and instructions, kamak de nafsha. Ask the Gemara, midami, b'arev hay de kakonalei kachosim money. In the case of an arev, the person that the malva, that the arev becomes obligated to, gave his money to the loiva. Hay gavra, in the case of our Mishnah, kakoy kakonalei le'etasa, in the case of our Gemara, kakonalei le'etasa, he gets a wife, but he didn't spend any money for like a chas lamidi, even though it didn't take anything from him. Says the Gemara, Eved Kanani yuchiach. Because what happens by an Eved Kanani that we spoke about that doesn't have his own funds to redeem himself? The like a chas lamimoina, he doesn't give up anything, and yet the kakana nafshe. What are you going to say? Hot me dummy, by the case, you can't compare our case to the case of Eved Kanani, because Hossam, in the case of Eved Kanani, the person, the owner of the Eved, that's freeing him is getting the money. Hacha, but in our Gemara, hay itasa lemak nafsha v'lekana lamidi. This woman is getting married, but she's not getting anything for that Arav Yechiach, that the Arav doesn't get anything. So we like Mata Anol Yadei, that the Arav doesn't personally receive anything, and yet he's Meshabed Nafshi, he becomes obligated. So by combining the two principles, the principle of Arav and the principle of Eved Kanani, that's why this case is fine. Ask the Gemara. By Rava, Helich Mana, somebody says, take this money, Vakadish Niloch. Take this money, and if you take this money, I will become a Kadeshus to you. Mahu, what is the halacha regarding this Kadushin? Ama Mazut Mishmeid Rapapa, Mekadeshus. So, of course, this is, at first glance, difficult to understand. We know that by Kadushin, it is the husband that gives the money to the wife. Here we have a case where the wife is giving the money to the husband, and yet we're considering it a valid Kedushin. Amle Rav Ashi Umar Zutra. So Rav Ashi Umar Zutra assumes that why is this considered a valid Kenyan? Because we're assuming that when he takes ownership of this money, there's a concept in Halacha called Kenyan Agav. That if I buy a piece of, usually as we will see in the Shir, the example of Agav is if I buy a piece of property and there's something on that property, so Agav, that I take ownership of the property, I also take ownership of what's on the property. So the Gemara is assuming that because this husband is taking ownership of the money that she's giving him, Agav, that act of Kenyan, he also becomes owner or makes a Kenyan in this woman. But then, asked the Gemara, that would mean that this is a situation of Avalein Chosim Shiesh L'Machrayis, Karka, and a person is considered Karka in many areas of Halacha, Niknim in the Chosim Shein L'Machrayis. That means because he's taking ownership of the money, the Karka, the wife, comes along. And asked the Gemara, but we've learned throughout Shas, we're going to learn this in a Mishnah later on Daf Chavav Amin Aleph, but not Ifchatanan. We've learned just the opposite, because the Mishnah teaches us Nechasim She'en L'Machrayis, Niknim Nechasim She'esh L'Machrayis. Like we said, if you take ownership of a piece of property, Agav that, you could take also ownership of Metatlin. And how do you take ownership of the Karka? Bekesa B'Shtar B'Chazoka. But here we have just the opposite. Amlei, to which he responded, this Kenyan that we're saying Mekudeshes, that's not why it's effective. Mi Samrit, Darmalei Agav, that what makes this Kedushin an effective Kedushin because it's considered a Kenyan Agav, Hach Ba'adam Choshevaskin. We're speaking here about an Adam Choshev, and the person, Bahi Ano, that this wife is so happy to come Kabul Matonimina, that this man is prepared to take from her a gift, Gomer Maklin Nafsha, that has value to her, that gives her Hana, and because that gives her Hana, that's why it's considered a valid Choshev, a valid Kedushin. So it's interesting, the Sefer Tiv Kedushin points out that when the Rambam brings down this Halacha, the way the Rambam quotes this Halacha, it speaks about an example of a woman who gave a dinner to an Adam Choshev, and as our Gemara just said, it's a valid Kedushin. So says the Tiv Kedushin, we know, going back to the first mission of Amasechta, the Kedushin works with a Pruta. Why did the Rambam speak about a dinner? Says the Tiv Kedushin, that the Rambam is teaching us that in this type of Kedushin, a Pruta wouldn't be insufficient. Because a woman would give, if a woman gives an Adam Choshev a Pruta for Kedushin, that means the hana that she gives, that she gets, that this Adam Choshev took from her a pruta, that hana is less than a pruta. The hana can't be more than the value of what the gift was. And if the entire gift was just a pruta, then the hana would be less than a pruta. And going back to the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that wouldn't be a valid kedushin if it's less than a pruta. The Rambam also says that this type of Kedushin that we just said by Adam Choshev is only effective if the husband acknowledges this Kedushin, declares Hare at mekudeshes li, b'hahanozu, you become mekudeshes to me with the benefit that you have, shekabalti mimcha matano, that I was willing to accept from you a gift. And as most mefarshim explain what the Rama means, as we discussed in our previous year, a kedushin is a valid kedushin if Omar who, if the husband makes the declaration. If we wouldn't have this declaration that the Rambam says that is made here, it wouldn't be a valid kedushin. The Torah disagrees. And the Torah says as long as the husband says that he's accepting the gift for the sake of performing kedushin, he doesn't have to say the entire Nusaf Arei Et Mekudesh Asli. But, says the Tshuvas HaRashba, even though we have a Machloikis, the Rambam and Torah, does the husband have to make this full declaration or not? The Tshuvas HaRashba says that the wife has to make a very clear declaration that I am getting married to you and giving you the money, and with the Hanor that I have, that you're taking the money from me, that is necessary to be said. Because if the wife doesn't make this declaration, we don't have enough of an indication that that's what she is interested in doing. And therefore, since we don't have enough indication that that's what she's doing, that's why it would not be a valid kedusha. Agamar introduced now the concept of Adam Choshev Askinim. So many Mefarshim I saw explain that when Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of Parshas VeYishlach, sends the gift to Esav, Yaakov Avinu instructs the messengers to say, "V'marta to say la'avdechol Yaakov minchi shluch la'adonai Esav." So Yaakov asked that, what was Yaakov Avinu saying? That if you, Esav, will agree to accept this gift, then it will be considered that minchi that it will be considered as if I got a gift. How do we understand that? If he's sending a gift, how do we understand that it's considered as if Yaakov Avinu? How do we understand it that it's considered as if Yaakov Avinu got a gift? So they explain the reason why it's considered as if Yaakov Avinu got a gift. It's based on the same concept that we're learning in our Gemara, which is Vahi Hanor, with the Hanor that she is willing to, that this Hanor has so much value to her, and because this Hanor has so much value to her that he's willing, that it's considered as if she got something. The same thing by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was saying to Esav, the fact that you're willing to take from me a gift, that is considered the greatest Hanor that I could have. The Alshech says that the beginning of Parshas Truma, where the Torah tells us that Klal Yisrael was told to give donations to the Mishkan, the pasuk says v'yichu li truma, and many mefarshim of course ask, shouldn't it say v'yitnu? So says the Alshech that Klal Yisrael's attitude towards being given the privilege of giving donations to the Mishkan, it wasn't in their eyes as if v'yitnu, as if they were giving something. It says v'yitnu, they looked at it as if they were getting something. The privilege, and that's why when we have the schus to give tzedakah, many times we're told tiskul mitzvahs. The privilege that we have to do a mitzvah is not something that it's as if we're giving, it's really as if we're getting. And I saw that the Sefer Avodas Yisrael explains that every time we make a bracha, the way we begin reciting the bracha is by saying Asher kedishanu b'mitzvaysav. What does it mean? He says when we say Asher kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, when we declare Asher kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, what we're really saying is that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gains anything from our mitzvah. Asher kedishanu, the fact that we have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, Asher kedishanu, it makes us better. The Sefer Apirion explains that the pasuk says regarding the mitzvah tzedakah, Nosoin titen loy. And the question is, why does the pasuk have to say Nosoin titen loy? The pasuk is teaching us that when you give tzedakah to an Adam Choshev, as we're learning, it's a special privilege to be able to give tzedakah to an Adam Choshev. What we're learning here is that the pasuk is teaching us, even in a place where you're giving and you don't have any special hano that you gave this person stock, he's a regular person, but noso in titen loy, that it should be considered as if you should give it, even when it's only something you're giving and you don't feel like you're getting anything back. The Medrash says, Chazal teaches, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matana Tavi Yesh Li V'Beis Genozai, I have this wonderful gift in my treasure house, the Shabbos Shema. Why is it considered a matana? Why is it considered a gift? Why is it considered a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So explains the Sefer Ahava Sholem, that when Klal Yisrael fulfilled Shabbos, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that gave us Shabbos, but by us fulfilling Shabbos Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it as if he got a matana, as if we gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu a gift. The Pasuk says, explains the Hamik Dover from the Netziv, that when Avram Avinu had the discussion with the Melech Sadoim, and the Melech Sadoim wanted to give Avram Avinu different presents for him, having helped him win the war. So Avram Avinu says, "V'lo Taimar, I don't want to take anything from you, so you shouldn't be able to say, V'lo Taimar, that you shouldn't be able to say, Ani Hashartis Avram, I'm the one that made Avram wealthy." What did he mean to say? So he says that, "V'lo Taimar, Ani Hashartis Avram," that Avram Avinu said, "You're not like we are. When you take a gift, I don't feel anything special about you taking a gift from me. So it's like I'm giving you, if you're going to give me a gift, it's going to be a gift that you're giving me, and I won't feel as if you're getting anything from me. That's not your attitude. And I don't want that you should be able to say, Ani Hashartis Avram." The Paiskim discuss a question, if our Gemara is teaching us that the fact that an Adam Choshev receives something from us, it's as if I got something. What would be the halacha if Shalach Manis is sent to an Adam Choshev? And the Adam Choshev to whom you sent the Shalach Manis was obviously willing to take that Shalach Manis. So is it not only considered as if I gave Shalach Manis to that person, but I have hanah that great person was willing to take Shalach Manis from me? And therefore the question that they discuss, is it going to be considered as if I, who sent the Shalach Manis to this Adam Choshev, will have fulfilled the mitzvah of Shalach Manis? So the Paiskim want to connect it to what is the reason of Shalach Manis. Because there are two reasons for Shalach Manis. One reason for Shalach Manis is that we want that everybody, Chazal wanted, the Megillah wants, that everybody should have food for the Sudas Purim. And the way we can be sure that everybody will have food for the Sudas Purim is by sending Shalach Manis. The other point of Shalach Manis is to create Hava V'Achva, to create friendship amongst people. So if the reason is for Hava Achva, so then the halacha is that if I am so happy that this Adam Choshev was willing to take Shalach Manis from me, so that creates goodwill in both directions. And since it creates goodwill in both directions, an argument can be made that I fulfilled, that not only did I, who sent the Shalach Manis, fulfill the mitzvah Shalach Manis, but even the person who received it by taking something from me, it's considered as if he gave me something. But if the purpose of Shalach Manis is that we should have what to eat for the Sudas Purim, so when I send something to someone else, so yes, he now has food for the Sudas Purim, and therefore I properly fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manis. But at the end of the day, even though I sent him a gift and I'm very happy that he was willing to take my gift, it doesn't bring any food to my table. And if the purpose for Shalach Manis is to bring food to my table, that hasn't happened. Therefore, wouldn't be considered that person also fulfilled Shalach Manis. Says the Gemara, "Itna nami mishmei de Rava." We learned from Rava the same thing, that all these halachas that we've been learning in our shiur today about how a kedushin could be effective, the same way this could be a valid means of creating a kinyan when somebody's buying a piece of property, whether we apply the concept of arev or we apply the concept of ever kanani. Says the Gemara, v'tzricha, why was it necessary to teach us this halacha that's effective both by kedushin and by a sale? The Ashmin Kedushin, Mishum Diha Itasa Nichala Bekaldahu. This woman is satisfied with anything. Why would we say this? Because Reish Lakish, based on what Reish Lakish taught us, Amar Reish Lakish, a woman, Tavla Mesa Tandu Mil Mesa Armala. A woman is very anxious to be married. And since a woman is anxious to be married, any pleasure that she gets is enough to make it a valid Kedushin. Avamana, but when we talk about a regular financial transaction, a maloi, it wouldn't be acceptable until it's done properly. When you do a transaction, you could do it and not ask for any money altogether. I could give a gift. Aval kedushin, where it's only considered a valid kedushin, where money is exchanged, maybe this is not considered a proper kinyan. Tzricha. Amar Rava, continues the Gemara, if a man said to a woman, Cheskadishli lechatzi, become Kodeshes to half of me, then that loch is Mekodeshes, it's a valid Kedushin. But if he said to her, Chetzich Mekodeshesli, half of you Mekodesh to me, then it's any Mekodesh, it's not a valid Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Baile Rava, Maishna Chetzich Mekodeshesli, then Mekodeshes, because the Torah says, Ki yikach ish isha, and we learn, Isha, that in order for it to be considered a valid marriage, it has to be Amarachman Isha, full woman, Amarachman of Laichatzi Isha. And therefore, if you take a Chatzi Isha, it wouldn't be considered a valid Kedushin. So if that's the case, Hachinami, when we speak about the husband's side of the marriage, as we just quoted the Pasuk, Chikach Ish Isha, so the Pasuk is also teaching us, Ish Amrachmana has to be a whole man, v'loichatziyish, and not a half a woman. The Berakhah Shmuel quotes his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, why is a chatzi isha kedushin not valid? Is it because, as we've been learning throughout Amasechta, that kedushin requires a certain type of a kinyan, and a kinyan of a chatzi isha is not valid, or is it that the definition of Mekudeshes is that this entire woman is yours, this entire wife is your wife, and if you're not married to the whole woman, then you're not married, says the Gemara Amalei Hachi Hashta. So the Gemara's question is, the halacha should be the same in both cases, says the Gemara Hasam. There's a very big difference between the husband, the perspective from the husband, and the perspective from the wife. Hasam, one woman cannot be married to two men. El gavro, but a man can be married to more than one woman, obviously not nowadays, but in the time of Chazal. And when we say, the man meant to say to her was, that if I should want to marry another woman, like Nesivna, I should be married. And as the Ritva explains, that even though in those days, men were allowed to have more than one woman. This husband, didn't want to marry, wanted it to be upfront, that he's not doing anything that she doesn't know that she should have any issue with. Or he says there were places that people didn't just automatically get married to more than one wife. And he wanted to have the permission to do so, and that's why he said it upfront when they got married. Amalei Mazotubrei, the Amari Lervina, the Nishtai Kedusha Bekula, the Gemara said that when you mekadesh a chatzi isha, it's not a valid kedushin. But ask the Gemara, why not? Why don't we compare this to what we learned in other halachas? Miloi Tanya, if somebody says, Haimu raglish azu oila, you have an animal, and you say that the leg of this animal should become an oila. So the halacha is, teikula oila. The entire animal becomes an oila. And says the Gemara, and this is a subject of a machlaikis, but says the Gemara, "Filu manda omer, ain kula oila." that if I only designated the leg to be an oila, it doesn't spread to the rest of the animal. When is that the case? If the part of the animal that I was magdish is not something that the animal's life depends on. I was magdish the heart of an animal, which is essential to the life of the animal. Everybody will agree, have a kula oila. So the Gemara's question is, why don't we apply the concept of the pashta just like we do by hegdish? And as the Rishonim say, why would we connect this to the case of being magdish the carbon? So many Rishonim point out, as we've been saying also from the beginning of Masechta, what is the concept of kedushin? We learned on Daf Gimel that kedushin is very much connected to hegdish. So therefore, the Gemara's question is: if it's effective for hegdish, the question is it should be effective for everything else. The Sefer Tefillos Yaakov says there's a remez in the Torah that this is an effective means of making hegdish. The pasuk at the beginning of Parshas VaYikra, when it speaks about somebody donating a carbon oila, the pasuk says an oila kabana min habakar zocha tamim yakrivenu al pesach oil moed. And the question is min habakar. What is the Torah trying to teach us? Min habakar, says the Tefillos Yaakov. What the pasuk is trying to teach us is that somebody was only magdish min habakar. Somebody was only magdish part of the animal. Teaches us the Torah zocha. Zocha tamu yakrivenu, that in spashta, and that the entire animal becomes kadosh based on the concept that we're learning in our sugya of nispashta. Says the Gemara, how could you compare the two cases? Midami, hasam behema, when we speak about somebody who's being magdish an animal, the animal belongs to him, and he has the ability under certain circumstances to be magdish or not. Hacha das acheres. There's a wife that's involved, and if she isn't, she will only agree that she should be Mekudesh's halfway. If she only agreed to be Mekudesh's halfway, then she's not Mekudesh's anymore. And the Gemara points out, Hola Damya, the case of our Gemara is no different than Hodam Rabbi Yochanan. If you have a behemish shnei shut from an animal that's owned by two partners, Higdish Chetzia, and one partner was Magdish his half, the Chaz of Elacha, and then he buys the other half of the animal from his partner, Vigdisha, and then he's Magdishit, then Kedusha, then a Kraver. Because when you were Magdishit, you couldn't have brought the entire animal as a carbon. Because the first partner, when he was Magdish, his half only owned half of the animal. So the Hegdish could not spread any further. He doesn't own the other half. And the halacha is, for Isa Tamura, if somebody substituted another animal for this animal, that animal gets kedusha v'tamurasa kiyotzeba, and that animal has the same halacha as the original animal. What the halacha is, it could be sold, and you could use that money to bring another animal, but this animal itself cannot be brought as a carbon. So the Gemara is saying here too, since the woman has control over her entire self, and she was only agreeable to be half mukadeshus, the other half is not valid. Says the Gemara, Shmami notlas. Based on what Rabbi Yochanan has been teaching us in our shir, we can learn three halachas. Shmamina, first halacha we learn is Balachayim the Dochim. That if an animal, when you were magdashit, was unable to be brought as a carbon, the case that you were magdash only part of the animal, not an avish and a shamat tluyba, and then it became disqualified, it remains disqualified forever. Because the Gemara Masechta Yuma Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph actually discusses a case where, and there Rav's opinion is that the only time we could say dichui, that we could apply the concept of disqualification, is where it was at one point usable as a carbon and then became disqualified. But if it was disqualified from the outside, that's not dichui. Vishmamina. And the next halakh is that dichui mekaroi have a dichui. That if something was disqualified from the beginning, it's forever. Shmamina, and if something only has a kedushas tamim, we know that there are two types of hegdish. Kedushas aguf, something that the animal itself is hegdish, only its value. Here we say that the Kedushas, even though it's only Kedushas Damim in our case, we're still applying the concept. We're still applying the concept of Dichui. Asking my boy Rava, Chetzich v'chetzi pruta. I'm being a Kaddish half of you with one half of a pruta, v'chetzeh chatzi pruta. And the way the Rishonim explained, but he gave her the two halves at the same time. So in reality, he gave her a pruta, but he made two separate declarations. Each declaration was only on a chatzi pruta. Mahu. What do we say? Kivindam l'chatzi pruta. Since he said first a chatzi pruta, so that means he wants to be mekadosh with a chatzi pruta. And the halacha is that being mekadosh somebody with chatzi pruta, poska, is not good because it's not enough. Adilma, what he meant to say was, mine of a halachu. He meant to give her a entire, he's giving her first a half a pruta, and then he's going to give her another half a pruta. The Avnim Luim says, our Gemara is speaking about a case where he said, Chatzich, v'chatzi pruta, v'chatzi, v'chatzi pruta. But if he would have said, Kulech, I'm being Mekadosh all of you, v'chatzi pruta, v'chatzi pruta, that, the Gemara says, Davni Meluim, is no question, would be acceptable. Davni Nezer actually is not even certain about that case. He says that even in that case, it may be that since he didn't, each chatzi pruta is viewed separately, so we don't have a kedushin with a pruta. And then Tim Tzoloimer continues the Gemara and saying, if we're saying the case that we just discussed, that it's considered a situation of man of a halachu, he means to get to the pruta. What's going to be when he said chetzich bepruta v'chetzich bepruta? Mal kimedam a pruta pruta. Since he said a pruta, he wasn't counting chat prutas. Paskal amusay. It's considered two separate acts of kedushin. And if they considered two separate acts of Kedushin, and as we just learned, a Kedushin on a Chatzi Isha is not a valid Kedushin, this wouldn't be a valid Kedushin. Adilma, Kol B'yoymei, as long as it's all within the same day, the fact that he separated it into two acts, it's all considered minor v'halachu, it's considered okay. That the Achrayim discuss that on Purim, we have to give Shalach Manas. And we know in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manas, we have to give two Shalach Manas. And the question is, if on the day of Purim, somebody gave Shalach Manas half in the morning and half in the afternoon, how does the halacha look at it? Do we say, Mine of a halach, I gave the first Shalach Manas in the morning, and then I'm going to give the second Shalach Manas in the afternoon. But it's really one long act. Or does the halacha view this as two separate acts, and maybe the mitzvah has to be fulfilled by giving two shalach manas at the same time? In Tim Tzoloimer, so says the Gemara, and if we'll suggest that kol b'yomei, as long as it's being done all within one day, mine of a halachu, it's considered okay. What's going to be the halacha if the way he gave the kedushin, he said chetzach b'prutech hayoyim, chetzach b'prutech lemacher? Mahu, what will be the halacha in that situation? Kim and amal lemacher, we did half today, and he did half tomorrow. Then that can look at as if it's two separate situations. Oidilma, chachi kamalei, kedusha maskim mehalidna, the act of kedusha will begin from today, amigla migmar, and they will be completed at lamachar tomorrow. Next quiz. Shnei chetzich beprutach. He says, I'm giving you one pruta for the two halves of you. Mahu, what will be the halacha in such a situation? He meant to do one act of Kedushin. Since he divided the woman, so to speak, so you can't have a valid Kedushin. And the Gemara to these questions says, Teku. And there's a Machloikus, Rambam and Ravid, what is the Teku referring to? The Ravid's opinion is that the Teku is referring to all of the questions that were posed in the Gemara. The Gemara is what remains with a teiku on all of those questions. The Rambam says that only the questions which the Gemara did not say and an intim tzoloimer, there those questions remain unresolved. But any question that the Gemara says intim tzoloimer, the opinion of the Rambam, and it's not only the opinion of the Rambam in our Gemara, it's the opinion of the Rambam throughout the Rambam, is that anytime the Gemara says an Imtim Tzulaymer, the halachi is like the Imtim Tzulaymer, and therefore those questions, according to Rambam, that's the way we were paskin. By Rava, continues the Gemara, Rava asked the following question. Shtei b'nesech l'shnei b'nai. Somebody, one father says to another father, I have two sons, you have two daughters, I want your two daughters to marry my two sons, and the Kedushin, and here's a pruta. Mahu, how does the halacha view this situation? Basa noisin makabel zlinin. Does the halacha say we look at the people who are exchanging, who are making it a transaction, and the transaction is with a pruta? Vika b'mayna. Adama basa dada zlinin. We look at each couple separately, and therefore each couple separately only has a chatzi pruta. And since each one only has a chatzi pruta, then the halacha is that it's not considered a valid kedushin. By Rapapa. Rapapa asks, Bitta, if somebody says, Bitcha uparoska vapruta, your daughter and your cow I'm buying with a pruta. So how does the halacha look at this situation? Mao, meaning Bitcha b'chatzi pruta, your daughter I'm buying for chatzi pruta, uparoska b'chatzi pruta, and therefore won't be a valid kedushin. Or Dilma, will we say Bitcha b'pruta, your daughter I'm marrying with a pruta because that's the necessary amount to do a kedushin. Parascha, I don't need a pruta because you can make a kinyan in a para with a meshicha. And the Gemara has a take on this question. Then ask the Gemara by Rav Ashi, Bitcha v'kakcha b'pruta. Again, Mahu, how does the halacha view this story? Do we say the way halacha looks at it that he meant to say bitcha b'chatzi pruta, the karkoska b'pruta, that I'm buying your daughter with a b'chatzi pruta, the kedushins with a b'chatzi pruta, and the karkas being bought with a b'chatzi pruta, and therefore it wouldn't be a valid kedushin because a kedushin needs at least a pruta. I don't have a bitcha b'pruta, the karkocha, I don't need a pruta at all. The karka is going to be brought with a chazaka, and therefore, since we're going to look at the, and therefore, it will be a valid kedushin. And in all these cases, here again, the Gemara says teiku. The Shalos Tshuva, Tayr Lishma, Simon Dalet Shin, asks an interesting question. The Gemara, in a number of places of Shas, says that the amount a person has to have that he should not be considered an oni is that he has to have 200 zuz. So you have two people that want to give this person staka. And each one of them, and once, as long as a person doesn't have masayim zuz, you could give him, he's eligible to take him on staka. So now two people give him staka at the exact same moment. So do we say that each one of us gave him money when he didn't have masayim zuz? And since he didn't have masayim zuz, he's entitled to staka. Or do we say, so we look at it from the perspective of the mekabel, the oni, when he received this money, he did not yet have at that point masayim zuz. Or do we look at it from the perspective of the givers? And when I gave him, he may already had masayim zuz. So he answers that this question that we're learning, that we just quoted, is very similar to the Gemara, to the questions that in the Gemara we're learning now. And he says that since the entire halacha of giving tzedakah, that you only have to give tzedakah to somebody who has less than masayim zuz, is only a din derabanan. Since it's only a din derabanan, we could be lenient and say that we'll err on the side of generosity, and that the oni could take the tzedakah from both of us. We're also learning in our sugya that when you do a kinyan, it has to, for a kinyan to be considered a valid kinyan, it has to be a kinyan that involves at least a pruta. So the Paiskim discuss when in a community where there's a Rav, and the Rav is appointed by the various members of the community before Pesach to do Mechiras Chametz. So typically, what happens by the Mechiras Chametz, the Nachri, who's buying the Chametz, gives money to the Rav, who's acting as the agent of the community to sell the community's chametz. So the question that needs to be discussed is very similar to what we're discussing in our Gemara. How does the halacha view this transaction? Does this look like a separate transaction? The Rav is acting as an agent for every member, for every individual who he's selling his chametz. And therefore, if he's acting as a shliach for every individual, so he may be doing it all in one transaction, but it really represents numerous transactions, a separate transaction for every person whose chametz I'm selling. And therefore, the nochri who's buying the chametz would have to give him a notch money that there should be a pruta for every one of the people whose chametz he's buying. Or do we look at it as a transaction between the Rav, who's acting as a shliach for the entire community, and the Nachri? And then the halacha would be one prut is enough. The opinion of the Be'er Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, the Shaul Meish, Dar HaShochan, all are of the opinion that the Nachri has to give the Rav enough money that it should represent a pruta for every individual whose chametz he's buying. The Shas Tshuva is Chesel Avram, and the Stei Chemed and other Paiskim disagree, and they suggest that we only look at it between the Rav and the Nachri, and if we only look at it as a transaction between the Rav and the Nachri, as long as the Rav gets a pruta, that will be from the Nachri, that will be enough to make it into a valid transaction.